Venom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to study tonight about gifts. Spiritual gift, to be specific. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all stand up, please, if that's okay, as a reverence to the Word of God. We're going to read, for the sake of time, we're going to read verse 1, and we'll skip all the verses and go all the way to verse 27 up to 31. So we're going to read verse 1, skip all the verses, go down to 27 and to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a chapter about spiritual gifts, and we have been talking about this. Pastor has been teaching this for a few weeks, and I would like to just add some on it. And with all the members that we have, with all the possible members that we're going to have, I think it's just appropriate for us to really talk about what this gifts is all about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us, and thank you for the Bible that we can read, and thank you for giving us the Word of God, so now we know, we can know on how you want us to have our church and to do things in church and to live as a Christian through the Bible, the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, ready? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Let's read all together in 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I shew unto you a more excellent way. Okay, you may be seated. When we talk about spiritual gifts, this is one of the subjects that, if I can remember, is not often being talked about in a Baptist circle. You know, we don't. I guess for some reason we don't usually talk about these gifts, especially these spiritual gifts. I guess because we see here about tongues and healings and miracle workers, just like a preacher said, we're so afraid of the wildfire and we ended up of no fire. We're so afraid of the wildfire and so we ended up of no fire. And both of those are not God's will. But I guess in our church, I thank the Lord that in our church, what we do, we try to do with our pastor is balance theology and balance Christianity. And you know what? You can be extreme in any principle or any teaching you have, and it's not God's will. And what we try is balance. So spiritual gifts are very important. What is a spiritual gift? This is my definition of spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is God's gift to a Christian for the profit of the local church. Spiritual gift is a gift of God to a Christian to benefit the local church. In other words, it is God's help to the Christian so the Christian can help the church. God's help to a Christian, and so the Christian in return can help the local church. I have some truths about spiritual gifts here. spiritual gifts does not mean, does not necessarily make the person spiritual. A person can have a gift of teaching and practices it and be carnal at the same time. Other truth about spiritual gift is spiritual gifts are different from talent, though gifts and talents can complement each other. Sometimes we get confused about gifts and talent, but spiritual gifts are different than talent. For say, a talent in music can be a big help for somebody who has a gift of teaching. Okay? If somebody has a spiritual gift, a gift of teaching, and at the same time he has a talent in music, that would help him a lot. But gift and talents are different. Though talent can be used to exercise your spiritual gift, or the other way, maybe your gift, you can use it and doing your talent at the same time. Every believer has his spiritual gifts given by God from the day of salvation as a help to the church. God has given us, every believer, every Christian, every saved person, the gift, the spiritual gift from God. And the reason why God has given us that, has given you that, is so that you can function in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." By one Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That means God has added us into the body of Christ when we got saved and has given us specific gifts that we can contribute to the church. That's why he says here, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Number four, truth about spiritual gift is spiritual gifts are not earned, they're not learned, they are called gifts, so no one should be proud of. Gifts are, you know, like we said, it's gift. That means you never earned it, you never learned it. It's God, by His mercy, by His grace, has given you a gift so that you can function in the church. Number five is spiritual gifts. Gifts are given and chosen by God through His infinite wisdom, as He sees fit for the church. So you cannot pick and choose the gift you want. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says, "But now hath God chosen the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him." In verse 11, actually, he says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." That means according to what God says fit, what God says needed, He gives every one of us a gift, and so we can be a part of a church. So when a person gets saved, he gets a spiritual gift. It's not something that you develop after you get saved. It's like a baby. When a baby was born, he has the hand. But that hand, you never know, that hand can be a pianist someday. Later in his life, he would realize the gift that he has, the talent that he has. That little hand that you can see on a baby, you never know, that might be a painter someday. But he doesn't get another hand when he gets old. But he realized that he has that gift that was with him from the beginning. And so it's the same with Christians like you and I. God has given you a gift. It's just a matter of growing up and finding your gift that God has given you. Now, not all of us has the same gift. God has given different kind of gifts. And all of the gifts that God has given us has only one purpose, and so we can serve in a church, so we can help the church and help the church glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a story about Charles Swindoll, has a story about the animals and gifts comparing to the animals. Once upon a time, the animals decided they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. So the animals organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. To make it easier to administer the curriculum, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming. In fact, better than his instructor, but he made only passing grades in flying and was very poor in running. Since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to be badly worn, so that he was only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so nobody worried about that. Except the duck. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscle because of so much makeup work in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but he encountered constant frustration in flying class because his teacher made him start from the ground up instead of from the tree top down. He developed Charlie horses from overexertion, and so only got C in climbing and D in running. The eagle was a problem child and was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing classes, he beat all the others to the top of the tree, but insisted on using his own way to get there. So there was a little story about different animals who has different talents. But so same thing in church. We might have a different talents, but that doesn't mean that other one is more important than the other one. It just means God has a specific part for you. There's no Christian that God has saved that has no part in church. Remember that. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, God has something for you in church. And when I say God, that means that's the best thing, right? That's the best. God has the best for you. Now, tonight, I would like to see three things tonight. Number one, let's go in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's our chapter lesson tonight. I would like you to see verses 4 to 6. I like you to see the unity in the gifts. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. That means different kind. Diversities means different kind, various gifts. But the same Spirit. I like you to take a note there. Same Spirit. Different gifts. Same Spirit. Verse 5, there are different administration, but same Lord. First of all, different gifts, same Spirit. Number two, different administration, same Lord. Same Spirit, same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities, that means different kinds of operations in church, but it is the same God which work at all in all. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. If you take a look closely to that, you'll see the Trinity. Same Spirit, that's a big S, capital S. Same, that's the Holy Spirit. Same Lord, that's capital L, small O, small R, small D. That means Jehovah, right? Jehovah. And same God, that's God the Father. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. In verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit
is given to every man to profit withal. What he's trying to say is, although we have different kinds of administration in church, person doing different things as he thinks he should be done, a person who would do it this way and that way, or the pastor do it this way and that way, or the cleaners do it this way and the other one do it that way, different administration, different operation. What he's saying is, you know what? We serve the same God. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that supposed to be that all these gifts that we have, we should have a unity? You know what? Because the person behind us who gave us all of these gifts is one. There's only one boss we have here. Amen? There's only one boss. You do it that way, praise the Lord. You know, I don't agree completely how you do it, but it's not wrong in the Bible. Go ahead. Different administration, different operation, different gifts, but the same God, all in all. If we keep that in mind, I think less churches would close. I think there'd be less fightings in the church. I think there'd be less divisions in the church. And there'll be more moving forward in the church. Amen? If we keep in mind that all these things that we do, we have the same Spirit, we have the same Lord, and we have the same God. And the Bible says in verse 7, look, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to that man, to that gift. In that gift, you can see God behind that gift. God is manifested in that gift to what? To profit. That means it's for the church. For the church to move forward, to help the church. If we see that, the unity in gifts, we would not be fighting. Nobody is above anybody. We'll just serve the Lord and be happy serving Him. This gifts as one author, God, so it should not contradict each other. This gift has one giver, God. It is not given to compete against each other. There's only one, the unity in this gift. Number two, I like you to see the uniqueness in the gift. You'll see that in verse 9 and verse 10. To another, he says, faith. That's the gift of faith by the same God, same Spirit. Some people has a gift of faith. A person that stands out in our day today, I mean, he lived a long time ago, is George Mueller. George Mueller. A lot of people know him as a man of faith. But you know, the surprising thing with George Mueller, he doesn't want to accept that he has the gift of faith. He doesn't want to accept that he has the gift of faith. But I think he does. And George Mueller has fed thousands of orphans. Thousands of orphans, I believe 2,000 he has in one place, 2,000, and he fed them. And you know his rule, his faith principle, he said he never asked anybody for money except God. He said, you cannot find a person that would say, I ask him or I tell him about my need, my financial need. Never. You can't find anybody. I only ask God. In his faith principle, number two, he said, the Lord helping us, we do not mean to seek the patronage of the world. We never intend to ask unconverted person of rank or wealth to support this institution, that is orphanage, because this we consider would be dishonorable to the Lord. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. He alone shall be our patron. If he help us, we will prosper. If he is not on our side, we will not succeed. That's his principle. That is George Mueller. He has a gift of faith. And different people has different gifts. He says here, to another, the faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You know what? This time, the apostle has the gift of healing. One time, Peter and John was preaching in the synagogue, and they were going inside, and there was a lame man in there and asking for money. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And so, gifts of healing to another, working of miracles, they did have that. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Tongues, by the way, that means language. That's language. Different kinds of tongues, that means a person who doesn't speak specific language, God has given him the ability to speak that so he can talk to the person in their language and win him for the Lord. And at their time, actually in Corinthians, you can see that at one point Paul was saying that it's better to speak in known tongue than in a known tongue, because some people are using their spiritual gift in a wrong way. You know, the gift of tongues is not supposed to be for the church. What it is supposed to be? For the world, right? That's why it's a tongue. It's a language. Like, it's so you would use it to talk to people, to evangelize the world by tongues. And that's what the use of the tongues. And some people did have that, the gifts of tongues. Every gift is unique and has its specific part as member of the body. Let's go in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." What he's trying to say is, in the church, God has given different kinds of gifts in the church, but the main purpose of the church, of the gift, is so that for the edification of the church, so that the church would function properly. Just like the body, the eye, the nose, the ear, the hands, the feet, they function differently, but they're all important. Okay? There's things that the eyes can do and the feet can't do, or hands can do and the eyes can't do. And so God has given us different parts of the body so we can do what we want. Have you experienced having a toothache? Right? Toothache. And you can't eat solid food just because you have a toothache. Well, you would say that's just a single tooth hurting. Should not be important. That's just a single tooth hurting. That should not be a big deal, right? Well, it's just a single tooth. You don't have to take a medicine nor go to the dentist, right? It's just one tooth. But it's not. All of us knows how hard it is when you have a toothache. And so is in the church. So is in the church. Sometimes we don't realize how important it is to have that person until we lose them. Or sometimes you don't realize how important it is to have a church family until you don't have it, right? You would say, "Well, it's just a toothache. It's just a little thing. It's just a place that I go for Sunday." You know? But it's not. You won't realize until you don't have them. One point, I was fixing our church bus, and then I took off the door, and the door slipped my hand and fell on one of my toes. Here, my left toe. And then I realized I was not wearing a safety boot because I can't feel my toe. Just one toe. But you would say, well, that's just one toe, right? But it's not. It hurts. It hurts. And so is in the church. Every gift of God is unique for all, and it plays a big role in the body. Sometimes we don't realize it until we come to a place when we don't have them. So that's the gift. So what I'm trying to say is, you have a gift. Christians, God has given you a gift that you can use as a member of the body of Christ. As a member of the body of Christ. Lastly, let's look at the ultimate gift. In verse 28, and God had set some in the church apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Nope. Are all teachers? Nope. Are all workers of miracles? Nope. Have all the gifts of healing? Nope. Do all speak with tongues? Nope. Do all interpret? Nope. By the way, that just disagrees with the teaching that if you're a Christian, if you're spiritual, you gotta have a speaking in tongues. Well, it says here, do all speak with tongues? Some, but not all. Verse 31, I want you to see this. But covet earnestly the best gifts. He said, covet earnestly for the best gifts. And he says, yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. You know what he's saying? Yes, there are gifts. And there are gifts that are better than the others. Just like the body, some parts are bigger than the others. You would not say that your toenail is as important as your eye. You probably can live, you would, if they're going to take one of it, you would say my toes, right? Other than your eyes. So same thing. It doesn't mean that some members are not. What it's saying is the gift that they have. It's the gift that they have. He said, covet for the best gift. But what I would like to see is the next phrase that he said. And yet, I want to show you a more excellent way. There is a best way than this. There is a better way than just having gifts. That's what he's saying. There is a more better way than just practicing your gift. There is a more excellent way than just saying you have a gift and you're using it for the Lord. What is that? Chapter 13. You know what chapter 13 is? Well, before they don't have these chapters, it was added. So it was just big letter. What was he talking about in chapter 13? Charity. Love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. By the way, charity means love. Love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, he has all the gifts, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. What did he say at the end of chapter 12? I want to show you a more excellent way. And what did he show us in chapter 13? It's love on top of the gift. It's the gift coupled with love. That's what he was saying. In verse 13, he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, this three, but the greatest of this is charity." What he was trying to say is, yes, you might say you have a gift. You have the gift of healing. You have the gift of teaching. You have the gift of tongues. You have this gift. But if you're not doing it with love, there's more excellent way than all of these gifts that you can have. And that is charity, love on top of your gift. Like what I said, spiritual gift does not necessarily mean a person is spiritual, though it is called spiritual, but it doesn't necessarily mean he is spiritual. But you know what? When that person unwrap his gift and apply it to a church and put love on it, that's when he becomes spiritual. Amen? When a person has a gift of teaching and do it, whether in Sunday school, whether with kids or adults, and do it, and at the same time, do it with love. That's what Paul wants. That's what it's supposed to be. If a person have a gift of healings, let's say, but all he does is show up on TV. By the way, if there's a gift of healing today, I don't think that's the kind of healings that we have. I don't think a gift of healing is that you go and have people pay you for the healing. No, a gift. I believe if we have that today, it is in church. It is somebody you would visit and you would pray to God, and God would give the healing. It's not something a show. It's not. But even if you have that, if you don't have love, I am nothing. It profits nothing. It doesn't help. So what he's trying to say is, the greatest of all of this, the gift of love. The goal for this spiritual gift is to help the church glorify God. I would like to say that the gift, at the closing here, spiritual gift is like an artist. An artist who likes to paint. Okay? An artist who likes to paint. For me, I like blue. That's my preferred color, blue. But you know what? Even if how much you like color blue, a good artist, he balances different kinds of colors as he thinks it fits the picture, right? It doesn't matter if his favorite is blue or yellow. He's going to use the color that he thinks is appropriate for the picture. And so I believe God did the same thing. In his church, he has given as gift, the Bible says, as he says, fit for the church. So he has given us different kinds of gift so the church could function and move forward and do the work of God. Now my question is this. What are you doing with your gift? And number two, what are you doing, or what are you contributing for the church in glorifying God? What are you doing to contribute for the church in its goal for glorifying God? God has given you a gift. What are you doing with it? And what are you doing for the church goal and glorifying God? Let's just pray and ask the Lord to give us the wisdom in what to do. Let's all bow our head. Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given to the church. And it is for sure is special, for sure it is perfect. And all of us you have given as gift, whether teaching, whether helps, whether working, and all these gifts that you have, administration, we just have to know what our gifts are and to exercise it and contribute it to the church so the church can move forward in preparation of meeting you, presenting the church to the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. And that's what we'd like to do in our church. Thank you for the pastor that we have, very passionate, goal-oriented. Thank you for the members that we have, very supportive, servant's heart. Thank you for the Bible that we have. We believe we have the pure version of the Bible. We have the Word of God, just like you want us to have. And thank you for everyone tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.